Mercury retrograde, and astrology. So much can be explained as we enter a new retrograde today. We are joined by one of the world's top astrologers, Michael Luton, and we invite you to listen in and learn what we can do to not only survive, but thrive in a retrograde. Michael will explain how astrology helps us understand the influence that the stars have on our lives. I'm Tony Sweet with Captain Ron. Please welcome world-renowned astrologer Michael Luton to Truth Be Told. There he is.
Thank you very much. Hey, John, how are you doing?
I'm great, and I'm so excited to have you here. And hopefully Mercury retrograde won't just completely crash our system so we can't talk today.
You know, people ask me all the time if I live my life by astrology.
Right.
I say, of course I do. Until there's something I really want to do, and then I do it.
Right.
And then live with the consequences. Mercury retrograde. I know a guy who's just done some research on Mercury retrograde, and he has come up with some interesting facts. He said that statistically, Mercury retrograde does not overwhelmingly affect transportation and communication on a big global level and on a level of statistics. However, it does change things, and you have to be flexible about your schedule and flexible about kind of everything you do during a retrograde Mercury. I was flying to Australia a couple of years ago, and I had to go during a retrograde Mercury.
Just had to do it.
We're having a conference. So I got to, at LAX, plenty of time, 4 o'clock. We were going to leave at 9 or 8:30. 1:30 in the morning, we got onto the plane, and it began to thunder and lightning. And I went on a retrograde Mercury in Pisces, yet conjunct the South Node, retrograde during a thunderstorm across the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, my God.
So I have faith.
Right. And, you know, I growing up and just until about maybe 15 years ago, I really didn't even pay attention to it. But once I started working in this kind of field, paranormal, you know, all this mysteries and mystics and stuff like that, and started hearing about Mercury retrograde, then I started saying, well, my computer did crash during Mercury retrograde. My cell phone completely went out and doesn't work. I mean, I started like, oh, my God, actually, is this really something? And
it is, though.
Yeah, it is.
Once I bought a refrigerator during a retrograde Mercury, and it served as a bookcase for 3 years.
Those are some big books.
But you know what it's good for? It's good for getting together with people you have known before.
Right.
Family reunions, class reunions, running into people. And you always do that. You run into people that you knew, you haven't seen in a year. So It's always a time for renewing old ties and finishing up, but don't forget, some people are born with it. I have a friend, a British couple, and they have a little daughter. This is a true story, and they had this little daughter, and she didn't speak when she was born. Hmm. You know, as kids start toddlers, they took her to every doctor. They took her to every hearing doctors, they said that nothing's wrong with her. She didn't speak a word. One morning, Chris slept in, and Cliff was going to feed Angel her breakfast. So he puts the breakfast on the high chair. He turns around to the sink, and he hears, "Actually, Cliff, I prefer them well done."
The daughter?
That was the first thing she'd ever said.
Oh, and my God.
Some kids are born with a retrograde Mercury, and when the Mercury goes direct, all during the time of retrograde Mercury, they're learning the language. And some kids won't speak until they can speak perfectly. So it is a phenomenon.
Me.
I can't run away from it. It's a phenomenon, but you can't stop living during retrograde Mercury. I have signed leases. I've had closings for real estate during retrograde Mercury, but that doesn't count because you bought the house before Mercury was retrograde.
Right.
And the closing is minor. And people say, I got married during retrograde Mercury. What does it mean? Well, it either means that when Mercury's direct, you'll end your marriage, or it's too late. By the time you get married, you've already sealed your fate.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so, you know, I've been doing this a while. You're an astrologer, so you kind of know. But a lot of people out there may not know what is a Mercury retrograde. I mean, because I've heard, even people this today, you're like, what is that?
As planets go around the sun, they go at different speeds. And when the Earth speeds past Mercury, it looks as if Mercury's going backwards, like a train station. It's really not. And as the planets keep whizzing around, Mercury will catch up to the Earth in its speedy orbit, and then it will look like Mercury is stopping its retrograde and moving forward. It happens 3 times a year. It's not the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination, but whether this broadcast will ever take place, we don't know.
Now, is there, I know, isn't there sometimes it's 4 times a year?
Did I say three? Yeah, it's 4 times a year.
Yeah.
But depending, it does advance in different signs. So sometimes right. it may spill over into the other year one way or the other.
And how do we know, because sometimes they're like, oh, this one's going to be a big one. How do we know what's going to cause one Mercury to be bigger than others and more impact than others?
Depending on the arc openings between Mercury and the other planets. Sometimes it's not malefic. Sometimes you have benefic planets that are involved in the retrograde, Mercury going back and forth over them. Sometimes you've got the weird ones. And when you have the wicked ones, you have to face it and deal with it. It's just, as Rosanna Dana said years ago.
I love her.
It's always something.
Right, right.
And it is. It's always something.
So, well, like I said, there's sometimes they say this time around is going to be communications. Next time is around, it's going to be, is it because of a different.
I myself have never been able to limit it that way.
Okay.
You always going to, you know, and I'll tell you, there are certain writing projects.
Right.
That I started and then one thing led to another. I didn't finish them. And all of a sudden, they'll fall out of the dresser during a retrograde Mercury. They'll drop onto the floor. I don't know where I put them. I think, oh, right, this is what I'm working on. Oh, my God, I forgot about this. And then I'll forget about it again when Mercury goes direct.
Now, what about when sometimes major things happen, you know, from political to life, you know, family to how can a Mercury retrograde affect us? As a country or as a international, is there something that actually can affect that?
You have to realize that Mercury is one tiny little drop in the astrological ocean. So we can't put too much weight on what happens, except to know that sometimes reviews of, I think there was a study done in terms of court cases. And when an appeal took place during a retrograde Mercury, it tended not to be honored as much as if it was direct. But it's a minor event in the big astrological picture. So as we're speaking right now, the moon happens to be in Capricorn. And it's conjoining, it's passing in front of Saturn and Pluto, which is much more important than the retrograde Mercury.
Right.
Because it is deciding the fate of humanity as we speak in terms of the real estate on world and off. There are a lot of people who have very greedy plans for the real estate that's off world already. And a lot of people, a lot of out-of-towners.
Right. Okay.
So that there's a big powwow going on right now as we speak over who's going to partition what real estate on planet and off.
Yeah, yeah.
Much more important than the retrograde Mercury, but the retrograde Mercury determines what's going to happen.
Well,
I mean, the retrograde Mercury returns. I shouldn't say that. The retrograde Mercury turns the ease at which communication will take place.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I'm sure that's...
Or not.
That's, I was going to say, and that's very important. I mean, so... because I know every sign has their quirks, and every sign has... Because when I... Even in the intro, I said how astrology, not just Mercury retrograde, but how astrology affects our daily lives, even though we don't even... think about it. You know, maybe in California or New York, we're a little more open to like, oh, what's your sign? And Well, and it's my moon's in this and my sun's in that, because I still don't even have the time to know what that means. And I want to ask you what that means. But I thought maybe it might be fun just to go through some of the signs, or even the signs, just to give us a little quirk of what astrology and the signs mean.
It represents the life, the sun sign you're talking about.
Right,
right. The sun sign represents the life force and the drive with which you attack and approach life, and it tells how your attitude toward prosperity and well-being can be achieved. There are a lot of other planets, and your particular birth chart represents the sun and all the other planets in a certain relative position to each other.
Right.
So every chart is unique, and nobody's boring.
Nobody's boring?
Nobody's boring. Everybody's boring on the surface.
Okay.
Nobody's boring underneath. So every sign, and I always tell this to people, when everything looks dark and everything looks over and everything's finished, go back to your sun sign's position. Whether you're born in the morning, at night, where was the sun's position? Because that's going to be always the thing that gets you out of every scrape you get into, depending on your sign and depending on how you do it.
So
every sign has a different approach to its life force.
So just so I get this, so I was born December 7th. 1969. I was born in the morning. I know, right? Like he hangs up. So I was born in the morning. So it would be my sun sign, right?
No, it's always your sun sign.
Oh.
But it depends on where. What's the? You're born in the morning.
I was born at 8:55 in the morning. So in,
so you were born right after you were born, or just at sunrise in December. Unless you were born in Australia.
Right.
So you were born, so the sun was rising.
Right.
That's a very powerful position. Sun rising, either just rising or just after rising. A lot of celebrities have it, they're born after sunrise.
Hmm.
But sunrise represents that you're full of potential. You're full of human potential because the day is about to dawn. And when it's in Sagittarius, they're lucky people. If they get stopped for speeding 100 miles an hour on the freeway, it turns out that the judge went to law school with their uncle.
It's true.
An optimistic sign because Jupiter rules it. And you do have a certain amount. And of course you use it all the time.
Never.
You want to just see. Oh yeah, right. It's a very positive sign. The dark side of that is that you could be in the worst possible situation, and the blade is coming to cut your head in half, and you say, "This is not happening."
That is true. This is not happening,
and you want to know what a blessing that is. Because if it's a Scorpio, the funny thing between Aries and Scorpio. Aries is another sign like Sagittarius that is so full of life. I have a friend who had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody said to her, well, you know, we remember what happened to you back in 78. And she said, what? I said, 78. And she said, well, you know, okay. They said, what? She said, no, what? And they said, in 78, you had cancer.
She's
in Aries. She said, oh, I did. Right. Oh, I did. Right.
I am Aries, like that. I guess I am like that a lot. Yeah.
Aries,
oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Now, a Scorpio will also survive, but it will put the tumor on the mantelpiece for everybody to see. It'll never forget it.
Wow.
So it holds it and remembers. And I always say, if there's a nuclear war and there's nothing left but ringing phones and telephones,
right?
Out from the rubble, a Scorpio will crawl.
Oh.
Along with a Capricorn who will have a mattress full of money.
Find me a Capricorn. Well,
what?
I said, find me a Capricorn. I'll take that mattress full of money. Well, let's do something a little fun. At least
good
it's
luck trying to get the money out of the camera. Right,
that's true. That's true. I thought it might be fun just for our listening audience and watching on YouTube right now. Thank you guys for watching and participating. But I thought if I could just ask you, when we say Aries sign, what does that mean? We know that they're kind of like Sagittarius. You know, we're kind of like, you know, the duck with the feathers.
It's the strongest life force there is. Aries
is the strongest life force.
Yeah, we say the sun is exalted when it passes through Aries.
Why is
and
that?
It says that it's a position of the sun that is glorified. So they'll push it to the limit, but they always pop up like this clown with the rubber bottom. It does yeah. it. So it's got a tremendous resilience. And so every sign has its own strength. And because the sun is never weak. They say the sun is weak in Libra, but the sun is never weak. The sun always has an extra energy for you. It just depends on how you're going to express it.
Right.
You know, a Gemini expresses their emotions and their thoughts in a certain way, and they're yattering, and then you have the mute signs. Taurus doesn't speak much. Taurus doesn't say much the way Gemini does, but it holds its position. If we have to move, we're going to move, but we're taking the good dishes.
Is that the silent but deadly?
No, it's not deadly.
Oh, okay.
No, there's not. I mean, they say Scorpio is deadly. I mean, I've never had that problem with Scorpios. There's so many things about people that... it's just like fat people, short people, tall people. Everybody has certain prejudices.
Right.
Oh, I hate. Oh, you're a Leo. I hate Leos. My mother was a Leo. So people have all kinds of prejudices. But once you have to love every sign. I tell that to students all the time. You have to love the people who are coming to get their charts read. You have to love every sign. You have to override all of your prejudices against people in your life, whatever happened to you. Otherwise, you can't heal people. You can't do anything unless you love those people and that you have compassion for them and that you're empathic to them and that you are realize that everybody's got, as Roseanne said, it's always something. If you're incarnated, with all your desires.
Right, right.
And all your aversions, you're running after something you don't have, or you're pushing away something you got too much of. That's why you're born, to work that out.
So, like a Taurus, when you said we're silent but firm, how do some signs, like Virgos, like I've dated many Virgos, and my sister, my nephew, my brother.
Now, clarify that. You did not date your sister.
I am from Kansas, so no, just kidding. We're not from Arkansas. Sorry, Arkansas. No, I'm kidding.
That?
I'm kidding.
That's
I'm kidding.
That's just what I'm talking about.
But I mean, they're, if you want somebody that's very organized, this is just from my own experience, organized and firm. But
they are that way when they're in relationships.
But
when they're alone, they act like Pisces often.
So
Virgo is a sign that goes through its issue of order and chaos.
Right.
And when they're in a relationship, everything has to be neat because they know they're going to be with a slob because that's what they're attracted to. They're attracted to people who are
thanks.
People who think no about
kidding.
People who think about bigger things and more art. More artistic type of people.
No, that would be me. Yeah, that would be me.
So that's why they're the ones that have to organize and get the tickets for the trip.
Right.
Because somebody's got to do it.
Oh, no. It's my sister. She is so, like, organized. Everything is in order. But we're very alike. But when it comes to certain things like Sagittarius, I mean, my creative side, she's opposite. She's very.
But you got to also say that they're very neat. They're much neater when there's a relationship involved, because when they're not and they're single, sometimes they change their underwear when companies come. They're not. They're not all as clean freak as you think they are.
Okay. Well, the ones that I knew that dated, they were obsessive. Seriously, obsessive. Yeah.
They probably needed to be around you.
Well, most people, yeah. And they drink a lot, too. Right?
It's not the sign of the drinker. And that's that. There's so many wrong. Like Pisces is supposed to be such a drunk and a drug taker.
Right.
I've just been doing this for so many years, and I realize that the opposites are so true half the time. Tauruses, who are supposed to be all into money, they're not. They're into the pleasure of life. They are into the pasta, not the money. So there's so many different sides to every sun sign, because every sun sign is affected by all other planets, and some people can be so different from what you think, but they have a core. That's a good thing you asked me that, because actually the core represents all the things you're trying to become and raise to a higher level. Hmm. You're a Sagittarius. You're never going to be a Capricorn.
I don't want to be.
Well, by progressions, we say you go through a Capricorn period. But that's what your core is. Your core is not to be fenced in. You hate to be fenced in. That's because Sagittarius is the unsocialized horse. It's a wild horse that does not like, it doesn't even want to see the fence. It doesn't know. That's why it's wonderful, the sign, because it doesn't know limits until it's taught them. But that's a wonderful thing about it. But in life, you learn limits.
Right.
But every sun sign has its brilliant ways of thriving. And that's how you have to look at it. If you're just going to talk about sun signs, you have to look at how they thrive. Because all the other planets are operating. Just like now, the Saturn-Pluto conjunction is affecting everybody's life on Earth and on off-world also. But anybody who is either born here or visiting here or trying to take over here, whoever is here is dealing with the struggle for control. And so that's why everybody at the end of 2019 is so nervous about what's going to happen. It's not just American politics. You see, it's happening all over the world.
Right.
And also, people have a personal issue. They've got a personal issue that could threaten their security for years to come. And they're scared about that. They're nervous about that. Everybody's nervous except, you and me. But most other people are really nervous.
Yeah. I'm not too nervous. I guess that's the Sagittarius in me. And when you say the Pluto, Saturn, what is that? Like I said, I'm not playing dumb. I am dumb when it comes to some of this stuff. And I really want to know, when you said what's going on right now that's affecting us being nervous.
Well, certain slower planets interact with each other. They make angular relationships with each other, whether they go 90 degrees or 180 degrees or 120 degrees.
Right.
And all they move at different speeds, and they form arc openings of certain number of degrees. And that, we say in astrology, we say that help. Am I doing this?
Yeah, I'm getting half your nose. There you go.
We're saying that that Saturn and Pluto are now coming to the same degree in the sign of Capricorn.
Okay.
It happened before. It happened in the sign of Libra in 1983. 83 was another time when there was a great change for people in their personal lives. So the Saturn-Pluto now is happening in a certain position, which is a little too complicated to go into, but they've both crossed into the south part of the zodiac, which doesn't happen very often at all. So this is an occurrence that hasn't happened in almost 300 years.
Oh, wow.
So it's happening in the American government, in the English government. Anything that happens in the American government spills into the French government and the English government. And because the English government and the French government are now really part of the rest of the international community, this is a worldwide event. And there's a lot of upheaval. And when there's upheaval, that the people who are in control struggle to stay in control no matter what. They don't want to give it up because they're afraid of the system collapsing. The system is collapsing, and we're on the brink of a world revolution such as we have never known.
Really?
You know what? Well, you know.
And this is the stars? This is what the stars are saying?
Yeah.
Wow. right here on Truth Be Told. You're hearing it.
Well, I wrote about this in 2006 and 7, and then Vanity Fair was just about to publish it, and it was called A Special Alert, Horoscope USA. And the last day they said they couldn't publish it, they didn't have room. And my agent said, tell them to take out your column this month and put that piece in, which they did. It's still on their website.
Hmm.
It's all about what's going to happen in 2015, 16, and 17, 18, and 19. It's happening now. And the editor called me before they published it, and they said, I hope you're wrong, because they thought Obama was going to save the world. I did not. And I knew that all this upheaval was coming, but this is only the beginning. And people think if they get rid of Trump, everything is going to calm down. Trump has his finger in the dike. And he's the president because this had to happen. Whether you like him or not, whether you think he's a good president or not, doesn't make any difference. These are things that came to be because they had to happen. The system completely has to change because we are now about to face as much of a change in our civilization as the Native Americans did when Columbus got here. And the rest of the Spanish and the Spanish explorers. The Indians, we call them the Indians, but the natives that were here.
Mm.
There's a scene in Apocalyptico. Did you see Apocalyptico?
I don't know. I did not. Tell me about it.
The Mel Gibson movie. Very interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At the last scene, the young hero is running through the jungle away
being
from
chased.
The chief that
they're
going to kill him.
Yeah.
And he's running and he's running and the POV is we're sort of seeing his front running from the point of view of him coming toward us. And he's running through the jungle and the chiefs are passing with it. They're chasing him and the suspense is building up tremendously. I think it had something to do with he fell in love with the girl. I forget. So, and everybody is chasing him, and all of a sudden he stops. And the chiefs who are facing him, they stop. But we're looking at them. And then the camera pans around to what they're looking at. And it's the English ship arriving.
I do remember that. I did watch that. I do remember that now.
And the subtitles say, "There goes the neighborhood."
And it sure did.
They got here. They said, "Boy, this place is beautiful. Get out." It's happening now. Real estate has gotten so ferocious. Rents for stabilized and controlled people have gone sky high.
Yeah.
And expenses to keep those buildings have gone up also. But on top of that, the real estate, water, ice, the land, the resources, the world is being partitioned into different corporations are buying up as much real estate as they can. It's happening all again because people are so afraid of losing power and losing the control of the system. It's happening off world. I think, what's his name from Amazon? He's got his eye on selling the water. Elon Musk, they've all got their ideas on the real estate because there's so much wealth and minerals on asteroids, and it's cheap to go to the asteroids and get them because they can arrive and take off with no gravity. It's cheap. So it's not just the people who were born here who are watching this. Let's say the out-of-towners, they don't like it either. They want their piece of the action. So that what's going on is the out-of-towners have joined into this free-for-all to take control of the resources on Earth and off. That's what's going on as we're speaking right now. When the Moon and Saturn and Pluto this weekend, there's big talks going on. It's not just about should we kick Trump out. That's just such a distraction from what's really going on in terms of the human condition and the human population.
Mm. What is the chart saying? I'm not even talking about just Trump. I'm talking about because if it's in the stock,
battle for control of Earth and the real estate or resources on Earth is going on full force among, I won't say it's a cabal, but the people who are afraid to lose control don't realize that there is no control. There's no control cosmically because you are just human. You came in here, you're on it, and you're going to, you're on the conveyor belt. You're going to drop off like the rest of the cream pies in this factory. But people who are in control are doing everything they can to keep control. And the alliances are funny because it's just like what happened with the natives. They didn't know that that Columbus. They didn't know. They just said, "Oh, what's this? A gun? Nice! I can shoot a turkey." They didn't. They didn't get it. Yeah. And that's what's happening. That not only are alliances being made, but it's like musical chairs because the alliances are being broken as fast as they're being made because people are scrambling around for a shred of control and power that nobody's going to have because the civilization is now at the brink of change as it's never seen before.
I know psychics because I've worked with a lot of psychics, some of the top psychics in the world, and they say that just because I predict something, that free will, you can change the outcome of what I've seen. But
you can change certain things.
Right.
You can raise your level of awareness, but you're never going to be a black man.
Right. But that's true. That is true.
No matter how you like black men and black women, you're never going to, you're a white guy.
Right.
So there are certain parameters that the astrology will define about your genetics, your heritage, your background, your education, your economic level. Certain things are not going to really significantly shift.
Right.
But within that, you have the ability to go against what some astrology would say about you and rise above all the difficulties that you have. Not only because you're Sagittarius, because you can say that it's not happening. It's not happening. That's what you can do, and that's how you get through some of your trauma. And Sagittarius happens to be one of the signs that says, well, this is a learning experience, and everything is.
I do say that a lot. I'm like, you know, we learn from every situation, good or bad. You know, my mother passed away a year ago, 2 days ago. And even though that was one of the biggest losses I've ever had or ever will have, but I said it's a learning experience for me because now I'm doing this without her. I mean,
But the pain was inescapable.
Oh, God.
The pain of losing the mother, especially the mother, the pain of losing the mother remains. And this is part of the Saturn-Pluto experience. Your mother died from an illness, I assume. The Saturn Pluto, there's going to be a lot of more deaths of closeness because one of the lessons of the Saturn Pluto is to recognize that everything is temporary. And no matter how you hold on to anything at all, eventually you have to say goodbye to it. If two people love each other in a relationship and they have 50, 60 years together, one of them is going to die. One of them is going to die first.
Yep.
That, and you can't live that way. You can't live in the fear of the losing someone or your dog or your cat. You can't live. You have to open your heart completely. Right. And opening your heart completely means you're going to have suffering because you had attachments. Attachments are the cause of suffering, and the separation from attachments is the cause of the loss of suffering and joy. But that's a very high belief. And although it works, it's very hard for people who have relationships in the world,
right?
And they recognize how temporary they are. So you're still in a deep state of grief, and you're facing becoming more of a professional in your work and becoming more well known. And the doors of perception are opening to you, but it's not without a great deal of pain.
Yep.
So although somebody could say to you, Saturn and Pluto are going to cause, you may have a loss of person in your family, which I would never say to somebody. But if that's the case, I would never say that to you.
Well, I mean, my father
would say Saturn and Pluto is about loss and learning about it.
Well, my father is 84. He has Parkinson's, and his health is declining very fast. So I'm assuming my next big loss would be my father, probably within a year, just because I can see his you know, he was one of those strong, you know, I'm 6 feet to over 200 pounds. My dad's like 5'8", but he was always this Popeye arms lifting beefs. You know, he was a butcher and all this stuff. And just to see him deteriorate to almost nothing because of Parkinson's, you know, I'm like, you know, it has made me look at life differently in a positive way. I'm not angry. Life is not fair. Before my mother passed away, I said, you know, whatever you believe in, universe, God, whatever, you know, please accept my mom so she does not suffer. I mean, that to me, that was like, I would have never said that 2 years ago, 5 years, 10 years ago. I've been like, don't take my mom. So it
so
does.
These aspects that are happening involving the Saturn Pluto was also involved the loss of your mother.
Right.
They have taught you about raising your level of perception to the events around you.
Right.
Which you would not have had before.
No.
So it's definitely true that we learn from the tragic as well as we do the joyous, but only by changing our consciousness can we change the events.
Right.
So somebody could say, well, here's a potion. Have your mother drink this and she'll live to be 120. Those things don't work because there are parameters in life and that we come upon these events and we're hurt and we're in pain and we weep. And then we know joy again. We eventually do know joy again. But I was just seeing on the street coming down to my office today, I saw a lot of people wheeling carriages. A lot of babies I see around are being born now. And you know what it is? People have a lot of death anxiety now. And death anxiety, it doesn't mean necessarily physical death, but it's loss.
Right.
It's the fate of having to give up what you're holding on to. And sometimes death anxiety makes people not exactly horny, but it makes them more willing to, they want to renew life. They want life to keep happening.
Right.
So you see the birth rate doesn't go down during death anxiety. It actually goes up. And so that death anxiety is blanketing the world now. There is not anybody who doesn't realize that we're on the brink of a change in our civilization. How can I say that? Well, Pluto is going into Aquarius. Neptune's going to go into Aries. It's a whole different reality. Plus, we're going to be introduced to the things that you know we're going to be introduced to, that a lot of people say that can't happen. That can't happen. I received about 2 years ago, I think it was, from NASA, the arm of the military that it is. It says that we're paused, but we're not. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Yeah, it's you just click on your camera.
Saying pause.
Yeah.
But I don't want to push this thing. I'll lose you. So NASA writes me this thing, and it's a monograph of about a couple hundred pages, I think. It's a monograph called Archaeology, Anthropology, and Interstellar Communication. But how long they've been working on it? They've been working on it since 1952, I think. 52 they started about it. And in this monograph, they said, of course, we've never really communicated. We hope that someday we'll be able to. But if that day ever comes when we are in communication with an extraterrestrial civilization, we're not saying it has, but if it ever does in the future, it's got to be done very, very secretly and slowly. Part of it is to keep the Earth people afraid of, you know, and under the control of the government. But another aspect of it is that historically, when inferior civilizations are exposed to superior civilizations, they disappear quite quickly because a wave of depression comes over the people in the inferior civilization because all of the things that they had thought were real, their philosophy, their economy, their religion, all of that they see has to be changed, and they fall into a depression. So it has to be spoon-fed. And, of course, the people who wanted everything to be shown quickly, early, it's not good for people. Of course, if you're under a government that wants you to be afraid of anything that's foreign and as a potential enemy,
right.
I guess it's what happened to Columbus with those people waving hello to Columbus. So you can't be a fool about it because everybody in the whole galaxy wants They want somehow they want their piece of action. They don't want people. They don't want any beings coming in and wrecking their society. So it's definitely an understandable position. But that's why our civilization has been very split between people who are willing to open up to the possibilities of sharing the galaxy, and other people are really afraid of it.
Hmm. Good. I mean, this is good stuff. We have about 10 minutes left, and I hope you don't mind. There's a few questions in the chat room of people asking, if you don't mind me asking for them.
You know what I do now?
What?
When strangers say to me, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that. I'm just going to keep going. Tell me what their questions are.
Okay. Palmera says, how does the Chinese and regular astrology relate to each other in your understanding?
I've never really studied it. I've studied some Tibetan astrology a little bit. But Chinese astrology is fascinating. The animals, and then there are also subgroups. And I tried to learn Tibetan astrology, which, you know, is sort of similar to Chinese astrology. But it's not just the animals, just like the same thing with the, you know, with the signs. It's not just the sun signs. There's so many other factors. But the study of Chinese astrology or Tibetan astrology or any of the other of the Vedic Indian astrology, that all systems are worth looking into. The deeper you go, you're going to have to specialize. And I'm a Western astrologer, mm-hmm. And I follow the Western Zodiac. And although I'm interested in everything Tibetan in terms of the philosophy, I specialize in Western astrology and communicative psychoanalytic psychotherapy. So those are my fields of expertise. But they were all worth looking into.
And because I know there's several different types of astrologies. Is it just because we are on a different hemisphere? Is that why they just call it that? Or, I mean, is it the... Because I even know as you know, 1,000 years ago, the Earth was, you know, tilted differently. So could that change astrology as we know it, like 1,000 years from now? Or no?
It's a way of looking at the world. It's a way of looking at the world cosmically. And it really doesn't depend so much on where you live on the Earth.
Got it.
As what particular field of study you're interested in. Because here comes the holiday now. So who wants lasagna and who wants turkey? So it represents personal tastes, cultural tastes, ethnic tastes. They depend on the geographics and the culture in which you were born in, but not so much on your geographical position.
And Star Brother, I'm going to see if I can. I'm just going to read what he wrote, and it may make sense to you. But like I said, astrology sometimes right over my head. So it says, "Can he tell me about Chiron in Aries? Now it's trine Mercury in Scorpio and Venus in Sagittarius. Whatever that means, does it make sense to you?"
I don't think Chiron. I think he means Chiron. But
maybe that's
sure.
Maybe it's Chiron. I just did not know how to pronounce it.
Chiron, so. Is what? What? I put on my website today on Facebook a picture of what Chiron in Aries means, and I do things with pictures, and it's a picture of a ventriloquist dummy looking in the mirror. And so with Chiron in Aries, when you look in the mirror, you see all of the parts of yourself that are artificial that you have to change to become more authentic. As far as Venus in Sagittarius is concerned, it means even though alien consciousness may be drawing their plans against us, or maybe not even them, even if our own leaders have their own interests at heart and not ours, and that nobody is sure what's going to happen tomorrow, when Venus is in Sagittarius, you can relax a little and have fun and even relax on your diet.
Diet? What are you talking about? Especially with the holidays coming up. Well, just because the time, I want to ask this. I mean, I'm kind of drawn back to what you said about the big change, because this got a little deep, and this is truth be told, we love getting deep when it comes to not necessarily the deep state or anything like that, but when you say Mercury retrograde, and even before I said how to thrive, not just survive, how does a human race through the stars, how do we survive this change? Because the last, when you talked about...
only a Sagittarius in the last 3 minutes of talking could say, how does ours survive?
And go!
Right. I mean, I believe that there are forces that have entered our system that are malevolent and that do not have our best interests at heart.
I believe that too.
Okay, so something came in when the door opened, and it's here, it's in here. Our goal as consciousness providing people, astrologers, anybody who's a person of education and seeking wisdom, will fight against those forces of darkness and death and ignorance and fear. The thing they love the most is for people to be afraid.
That's true.
If you have no fear of what's going to happen, even though you're walking, your first death experience is your birth, because you're going down a canal, you don't know what's at the other end at all. You have no idea what it is, and there's no air. You got to go down quickly so you can get some air. So what it is the faith to go through the darkness. And there are forces against light right now. Something got into the system, and something is rotting the system even faster. There are forces that are out for themselves and not for the good of humanity, or even AI. They're not for the good. And that's what our job is to fight the forces that are not really for the consciousness-raising experience of all beings, not just humans beings, but the little bees of the world, the little ducks of the world. Everything has a consciousness that has to be raised now, because we're all going to recognize we're in a mighty big galaxy.
Mm. And I think a lot of people out there that are listening and watching that, and you're not just talking about human beings, you're talking even off world.
I think the answer to that, you know.
Oh, I know. And I totally believe that myself. From everybody that I've had on, that we know that there's something bigger and more advanced than we could ever imagine. And
but once beings are incarnated, once they become manifested in the flesh, they've got conflicts.
Wow.
Because like Rosanna Dana said on Saturday Night Live so many years ago, it's always something.
Always something.
So once a being is incarnated and it took physical form, now they don't all have physical form, but those that have physical form have headaches, just like everybody else.
And a pain in the ass. That's what we're here to do. Oh, Michael, you're great, and I can't wait to have you back. You're so much fun, a lot of knowledge. And how do people follow you, find you? I'm sure want to get a chart done. I don't know if you do that.
Oh, if they do, they go on my website. But the fastest way is to go on my email. Just one word, officeofmichaelluton@gmail.com. Office of Michael Luton, just as one word.
Right.
Spill it out at gmail.com. That's what I see the most.
Awesome. And like I said, you're so much fun. I love your outlook on astrology, because some people make it so sugar coated. It's like
can't
good.
Say that about me, man.
No. But I like that. Well, thank you for so much for being on. Next time, I hope Captain Ron's here so he can enjoy it. Captain Ron's more of the healthy skeptic on anything psychic or paranormal or astrology. But it would have been fun to have him here. But next time we'll have you back. But please go to michaelluton.com and go to office.
Officeofmichaelluton@gmail.com.
You got it. And please share this episode. You know, we have 3 weeks of Mercury retrograde. This maybe help people get through it and survive it and thrive it. And And always thank you for supporting Truth Be Told. This is our passion, our joy, and we want to share as many topics as we can. For all you people in the chat room, always thank you. And we want to thank you guys and see you next time right here on Truth Be Told. I'm Tony Sweet with Captain Ron and the amazing astrologer Michael Luton. Take care of yourself.
Thanks a lot, man.
You got it, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Talk to you soon.